IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.
Welcome to the IL Women Podcast. I am Matt Kinnear here with Inside Lacrosse Women's Editor Hallie Quillenin. Hallie, you are fresh off one of the busiest weekends of the season. You were covering the CAA tournament, then you flew out to Indianapolis to be part of the NCAA.com bracket reveal. Hallie, can you tell us a little bit about your weekend, what the experience was like being on the broadcast to unveil the bracket and some of the, you know, kind of behind the scenes things that you get to be a part of that none of us saw until that show aired on Sunday night?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Flying down from Boston, landing in Baltimore Friday to, you know, provide color commentary for back-to-back overtime CAA games was really just the tipping point of the weekend. It was awesome. I was so happy to see the competition level that the CAA provided, obviously punching three teams into the tournament. Spent Saturday hanging out with little Alan Kinnear in the IL offices as you and your wife made your way down and hopped on a plane first thing Sunday. Went out to Indianapolis, and this is my third year heading out there. I love being a part of the show. You know, I'm so happy that the NCAA team continues to have me out there. And, you know, I'm not in the war room. You know, that's the first question I ask. Do you talk to the NCAA selection committee? What was behind these decisions? You know, we don't actually film on site at the NCAA. So I'm not in the room. I am not a fly in the wall. I just, you know, I'm given the bracket ahead of time to prepare a little bit and ready myself for the broadcast. And then, you know, post-broadcast, the minute that's done taping, I'm back near my computer, you know, headed back to my hotel room and ready to, you know, get the bracket on Inside Lacrosse post-selection show and, you know, provide some immediate reaction analysis. So certainly a whirlwind weekend. Excited to be back home and kind of catch my breath this week, but certainly not too much time to recover heading into a busy weekend stretch ahead.
Absolutely a busy weekend, and Alan was happy to hang out with Aunt Hallie when we were in the office the other day, and I know you had a busy weekend the rest of the weekend, but it doesn't really stop there. We had some big news today as the Tourton Committee unveiled the five finalists for the Tourton Award, the highest individual honor in college lacrosse. Hallie, let me give you the nominees here. We have Nadine Hadnagy, Maryland defender, Olivia Hompf, Princeton attacker, Marie McCool, North Carolina midfielder, Kylie O'Miller, Stony Brook attacker, and Zoe Stukenberg, Maryland midfielder. Hallie, you just got this list just, you know, a little while ago. What are your main takeaways from this final group?
Yeah, you know, I mean, taking away these five are first team All-Americans, no brainer, have all had incredible years. You know, moving forward yesterday, I know, you know, myself and some of the IL staffers, you know, via email were kind of shooting out R to Wharton, and actually, like, just, you know, those moments where you have something escape your mind. I didn't include Kylie O'Miller in my final five. But looking at that today, I was like, oh, duh. You know, Kylie O'Miller, to me, this jumps out. One, I'm so happy that the Tourton Committee has honored her. You know, I think that her numbers jump off the page, but in the fashion that she did it this year, you know, she's without her wingman. You know, she's without Courtney Murphy. The two of them have made history for Coach Joe Spallina. And when Courtney Murphy went down with an ACL tear, Stony Brook, you know, granted they weren't losing many games in that stretch. They only lost the one to Florida, but they were trying to figure out, you know, who they were. What's our identity without our leading scorer, you know, the nation's leading goal scorer last year? And Kylie O'Miller, the leadership that she has exemplified to lift this team up, continue to take them to new heights, hands down, she's the best attacker in the country. You know, possibly the best attacker in the college game for the last 2 years. You know, I thought that the way that she can both spark plays, you know, as the catalyst behind X, you know, facilitating an offense and putting the ball away for herself. I've just been so impressed with her growth. I love the way that she kind of brought up her kid sister, Taryn, on side this year. You know, I think that this to Wharton committee did a great job. You know, I was a little surprised on a couple different things. You know, two finalists that I said in our discussions yesterday really can go hand in hand here. You know, I thought if Princeton was going to have a finalist, and when I was talking yesterday, they did, it was going to be Ellie DeGarmo. I thought if there was going to be a defensive player in this mix, it was going to be Ellie DeGarmo. And, you know, taking nothing away from Olivia Hump, she's made history this year for Princeton. I just think Ellie DeGarmo is, you know, a no-brainer, especially the way that she's played down the stretch. First team All-American, no-brainer. You know, she's saving 55% of the shots that she's faced. And let's just take a look at who she's played. You know, she's played Syracuse. They beat Syracuse. You know, they played Penn State, played the Ivy League stretch. Played Maryland. You know, she is playing the top teams in the country, and she's been the difference for this team. You know, I think it, you know, a lot can be said about Olivia Hobbs' ability to step up and produce offensively. You know, I think where this team has won games has been its defensive prowess. You know, its ability to buckle down and impress defensively. And my hat goes off to Ellie DeGarmo there. At the other end of the field, Olivia Hump certainly deserving of this nod, not taking anything away from her. I just think Ellie is, you know, deserving as well. And, you know, moving on to Carolina, you know, yesterday, as I was discussing, I thought that Marie McCool and Molly Hendricks were kind of interchangeable. And I was interested to see, I knew there was going to be a North Carolina player in the to Wharton finalist nod. I was interested to see who it would be. And, you know, sure enough, it's preseason to Wharton favorite Marie McCool. You know, I think what's so unique about this North Carolina team, and you saw it throughout the ACC tournament, everybody's stepping up on any given day. And that makes for a dangerous team as you head into the postseason. I like North Carolina as my early pick for national champion for a couple different reasons. One, I love the balance. I love the ability that, you know, Molly Hendrick can step up and have an awesome day. And then Marie McCool is stepping up the next day. Then Sydney Holman stepping up the next day. I love Ella Hazar, the way that she's really come out in her junior year. Defensively, Kaylee Waters is a senior. I can't wait to see the plays that she makes in the postseason. You know, and once on the other side of it, I love the vets. I love the way that seniors play coming down the stretch, especially in postseason. And I don't think there's a more talented senior class out there than the one that North Carolina is putting on the field. And then, you know, moving down, Zoe Stukenberg. I think that heading into this year, nobody knew what Maryland was going to look like, myself included. I don't even think their coaching staff knew what they were going to look like. But everyone kept saying, who is going to replace Taylor Cummings? And Zoe Stukenberg has. You know, I think that you look at the way that she has stepped up in her senior year. She's a leader offensively. She's 44 goals, 22 assists. I love the way that she has attacked her draw game too. You know, 62 draws off the side of the circle. You know, she's not even taking the draws. Kaylee Hartshorn is. So, you know, I think that the way that she has improved her all-around game, you know, she's causing turnovers, she's coming up with big defensive plays, she's picked up her offensive game, her offensive IQ. I think that Zoe Stukenberg might be, you know, I think this is probably O. Miller's award to lose. I think how she does in the postseason will have a lot to do with that. If there's a dark horse to O. Miller, in my opinion, it's Stukenberg. And then I think, you know, beyond the snub of DeGarmo, the only other player that, you know, I think that probably deserves to be in this grouping is Molly Stevens. You know, 57 goals, 16 assists. Sometimes I think the lack of assists hurt an attacker, but it takes talent to do the work off ball that Molly Stevens does. You know, to constantly find yourself open in the middle is not just dumb luck. It is skill, it is talent, it is watching defensive movement, sliding into that open space. I think now more than ever, off-ball attackers are so important in the women's game, and having a good one, a clutch one, who can put the ball away. Over 50% of the shots you take hit the back of the net, and because there are so many zone defenses out there this year, that inside attacker has become crucial to a team's success. You know, Molly Stevens' offensive numbers are there. And what I love about her as well, 102 draw controls this year. How is she not a Tour and finalist? She has not taken draws really, you know, solely anytime in her career. This year, she's really honed her craft. I think this is akin to what Kayla Trainer did last year. You know, offensive numbers and leadership was there, but she needed to do something because Kayla Kempney graduated. So Kayla Trainer stepped in and she broke records on the draw circle. Florida needed a draw specialist. Molly Stevens stepped up, improved her game, and she's impacted on both of those levels. I think Molly Stevens is probably, you know, the biggest snub, and DeGarmo too. I think that, you know, all five certainly deserving. I would have liked to see probably those two in the mix.
You mentioned O. Miller as kind of, it's her Tourton trophy to lose, but moving on to the NCAA tournament, Stony Brook's place in the tournament is probably the biggest surprise, biggest snub that we've seen in this bracket reveal. Obviously, there's so many factors that go into this, but you know, the thing that it comes down to is they're 18-1, they're number 4 in the poll, and nobody wants to play this team, and they are a number 8 seed in the NCAA tournament, which means that they have to play that that first round of games. You know, they're going to start against Bryant and then feed into a game against either Northwestern or Albany, which is not an easy second round game. You know, there is, with the New York State travel ban to North Carolina, you know, that's kind of what moved them from 7 to 8. But I think just being in the conversation of 7 or 8, you know, not in the conversation of 5 or 6 is really shocking to me.
It's shocking to me too. You know, on so many levels, Stony Brook is one of the best 5 teams in the country, and they're rated so in the polls, even the coaches' polls. You know, everybody knows that. I think that Stony Brook struggled to secure a top 4 seed, which I think they're deserving of. And it came down to RPI. And that's my biggest, you know, this is my biggest problem with RPI having too much of an impact as it pertains to seeding. Stony Brook struggles to schedule people. You know, a lot of the ACC teams now, you know, Stony Brook has made the, you know, move trajectory into that top 5. So I think that they're going to have an easier time scheduling some teams. But in the ACC team, a Big Ten team, you know, teams that have a gauntlet ahead, do you really want to take a chance with a non-conference game against Stony Brook? I'd love to see Stony Brook, Maryland, and Stony Brook, North Carolina play every year. You know, I think that Stony Brook struggled in the RPI. You know, they have to play teams in their conference that have, you know, they have no choice. They have to play, you know, Vermont, a team that struggled this year in terms of wins and losses, New Hampshire, Binghamton. You know, they have to play these teams. And a lot of the RPI obviously has to do with strength of schedule. It has to do with how your opponent's wins and losses, what their record is. And that's where you look at the RPI game. And you have a team like Syracuse. And Syracuse has a lot more losses than Stony Brook. But their RPI is so strong, you know, in addition to playing in the ACC. And they play Maryland. They play Florida. They play Northwestern. They play UMass, a team that has a very strong RPI, you know, just in terms of wins and losses. And, you know, I think that Stony Brook plays better when they feel like they've been snubbed, when they feel like they're the underdog. You know, I know that, you know, Joe, we have enough pictures of him donning that sweatshirt on the sideline prove people wrong. This number 8 seed, granted, I know they were supposed to be number 7 seed, and they, you know, moved because of the travel logistics standpoint, and the potential that, you know, Stony Brook or Albany would head down to North Carolina, which of course they couldn't do. So they were moved to the number 8 seed, and I almost feel like Joe Spolino is probably like pumping his fist on Long Island because his team plays so well when they feel like they are snubbed, when they feel like they don't get something they deserve and they don't get the respect they deserve. So, you know, certainly I think that Stony Brook has a tough bracket. You know, you look who they host this weekend on Long Island. They have Northwestern and Albany coming to them, and Bryant. You know, Bryant is a strong team. They certainly proved worthy of that NECAQ. Look ahead to Albany. It's tough to beat a team 3 times in 1 season, and Albany came within 2 goals of Stony Brook in that America East Championship. And Northwestern, you know, Northwestern's a wild card. When they played Stony Brook early in the season and they lost, they're a very different team now than they were then. I think Shelby Fredericks has really honed in her ability on the draw control, and she's one of the top draw specialists in the country right now. So, you know, you say that Stony Brook was snubbed at the 8 seed, I think that they were hurt a lot with who was sent to them as well. Potential conference matchup in the second round, that's tough. But, I think that this number 8 seed was probably mentioned a lot at practice this weekend as this team was preparing for this weekend to kind of, go out there and let's show the nation that we are a top 5, we are a top 4 program.
In terms of the first round, the Northwestern Albany game that we've mentioned here a few times, it's kind of the one that jumps off the page to me as the most interesting first round matchup. Obviously Northwestern is Northwestern, and Albany is a team that, like you said, was just 2 goals shy of beating Stony Brook in the America East. That's going to be a really kind of even good matchup. But to me, if you look at the bracket, the bottom right portion of the bracket, the North Carolina hosted section of that bracket is really intriguing. You have Penn playing a Navy team that had an upset win in the Patriot League Championship. 2 first-timers, Colorado, they're going to be playing UMass. And then you have Virginia playing first-timer Elon. Lots of interesting stuff there. What sticks out to you in this first round of play?
In that quadrant, I look around the board. It's going to take a very special team and a Herculean effort to beat North Carolina. I think that in that quadrant, Penn, Navy, Colorado, UMass, Virginia, Elon, I think any of those 6 teams could beat each other on any given day. I am hard pressed to say confidently who I can pick out of Philadelphia this weekend. I really like the way that Penn's defense has played. And I think that, their best performance in my eyes, just in terms of a barometer of where Penn can go, was actually against Maryland. I love the way that Penn's defense they play smart. They don't foul. They don't resort to, the chippy play that, quite frankly, Maryland loves, and they run all over. To beat Maryland this year, it's going to beat Maryland ever, which most teams have struggled doing. It's going to take a clean, smart, incredibly well-executed day. And I think that that's where some teams have really struggled this year against Maryland is in their fouls and in their, putting players on the 8-meter. And if there's a defense out there that I like the way they've matched up against Maryland this year, one of them is certainly Penn. I think Penn will have its hands full with Navy. Navy coming in to the Patriot League Championship, they were really the underdog. I don't think a lot of people, I think a lot of people when they were looking at the AQ projections just had Loyola in the NCAA tournament. Taking nothing away from Navy, Jenna Collins, Kelly Larkin, Kelly Larkin's probably, in the conversation for Rookie of the Year. They rolled past Loyola. There was no competition on Sunday. So Navy is probably one of the hottest teams heading into NCAA tournament. I'm excited to see how those teams match up. Colorado, UMass, it's been a while since they played. They played down in Florida earlier this year. So, Colorado, one of the hottest teams out of the gate and stumbled a few times late. So, what will their postseason run look like? Out of that, who takes on North Carolina? But first, you have Virginia Elon. The win that put Elon on the map this year was Virginia. Virginia has since improved and kind of put the pieces together. I think that's going to be a tough one. But really, out of this number 2, number 7 portion of the bracket, I think the Heels are playing way too well to be stopped en route to Gillette.
Other thing that kind of sticks out in terms of this bracket is, obviously you don't want to get too far ahead of yourselves looking at second round matchups, potential matchups that you have there. You have a potential Ivy League matchup, Princeton versus Cornell, if Cornell can get past Notre Dame. And then in the top right quadrant of the bracket, you have Florida potentially against USC. And that's a heavyweight matchup.
That was one, I said the biggest snub, in our bracket reaction on Isle Women, I said the biggest snub was Florida's road. I mean, a number 3 seed to get USC, the MPSF champ, a team that, I think RPI, once again, talk about RPI with Stony Brook. RPI hurt USC's chance of hosting. Teams can't help who they have to play, and they shouldn't be penalized for it, and taking nothing away from the efforts that were put forth in the MPSF. But, USC has to run through a portion of their schedule where they don't play ranked teams. It's not that the coaching staff is not trying to schedule those teams. They have to play their conference schedule. They shouldn't be penalized for it. I think USC, the way that they picked it up late season, you know, back-to-back, you know, wins over Colorado, you know, running past Stanford. I think that USC is underratedly probably, you know, they're probably a dark horse. And back-to-back years, you know, Florida drew the ultimate NCAA tournament dark horse last year in Penn State in the second round. And, you know, not to overlook Jacksonville, I think Jacksonville will put up a fight against USC. I think USC will survive and advance that matchup. And this second round potential, you know, you say potential, this potential second round matchup between USC and Florida will be, I think, the most competitive game. And it's going to take a lot of mental toughness by the Gators to, you know, throw last year's game out the window. It doesn't matter. You know, don't think of Penn State. Don't think of, you know, that game and what went wrong in that game. Think about the road to championship weekend. Think about getting back there. You know, none of these girls have played in a Final Four. You know, the girls that had have since graduated in Gainesville. So Florida has a tough stretch. You know, Florida, USC, and then the potential, you know, look who's playing in Syracuse. Syracuse on the latter half of that bracket. Boston College Canisius. I think that's going to be a fight. Two of my favorite players in the country, Erica Evans and Kenzie Kent, go head-to-head. I also love Sam Apuzzo and Boston College. I think that that's going to be a fight. You know, that's not a game where Boston College can overlook that. Certainly, they're a higher seed, you know, heading into that game. But that's not a game that BC can look past. I don't think they will. But they're not going to be able to rest their legs. I think Canisius is going to put up a fight. And then playing Syracuse, I think that if there's a team, you know, Syracuse, they don't match up all too well against Boston College, in my opinion. You know, when they played BC earlier this year, they ran past them in dominating fashion. I think that BC's changed. They've grown a lot since then. And having Kenzie Kent on your field changes the way that your team plays and how they can produce. So BC, Syracuse, I think that's a coin toss. But looking forward, Florida, Boston College, Florida, Syracuse as a 3 seed. That's tough. You know, Florida, potential Florida, Syracuse. You know, Syracuse has played spoiler to Florida before in that quarterfinal matchup, back-to-back years. So that right there is interesting. But yeah, once again, you know, in that portion of the bracket, Florida, probably biggest snub, their road to Championship Sunday is filled, you know, potential USC, potential Syracuse, potential North Carolina. That to me doesn't get any tougher.
When you look at the ACC, you know, we've talked about the ACC and kind of how the conference is doing overall quite a few times on this podcast. They have 6 teams in the NCAA tournament. You know, obviously it's more than any other conference in the country. But the way that they've played out of conference, I mean, this is not an easy road for a lot of these ACC teams. You mentioned Boston College already, but Virginia has to play Elon in the first round. Notre Dame has to play Cornell in the first round. I mean, this is not kind of clear road for ACC teams here, is it?
No, and you know, I think the way that the ACC produced against teams not in their conference hurt them, hurt their overall strength of schedule, hurt their overall RPI, rather. You know, Louisville, Notre Dame, I think that, you know, those would, you know, I think that they're the last team in, it's Louisville. Louisville was in desperate need of that significant win. And it came right before the ACC tournament over a Syracuse team that was on an upward trend, you know, upward trajectory, a Syracuse team that just beat North Carolina, that hadn't lost since March. And, you know, they go and they lose to Louisville. And I think that that was one of those games where Syracuse showed its youth. You know, certainly the youth on Syracuse's team, they start majority freshmen, redshirt freshmen, sophomores, you know, currently are led by junior Riley Donahue. Nicole Levy's been a little banged up, but, you know, she should be back and more of a presence in the postseason. But Syracuse is young. You know, they start a freshman goalkeeper. They start a freshman draw specialist, freshman attackers. Really, I think that they experienced a little taste of, you know, showing what they can do, beating the big guns out there. And then they experienced when you are up and you're playing like that and you're feeling these things, how quickly it can be taken from you when they lost to Louisville. So I think Syracuse has certainly learned a lot from that game, but Louisville can thank its lucky stars for that game because that game is what got them in. You know, when you looked at the bubble teams, and you looked at, you know, Denver, I think, was a team that was right there. Johns Hopkins was a team that was right there. You know, you look at Louisville against those teams, and Louisville's quality win just jumps right out at you. You know, you look at Denver's wins, you know, head-to-head, certainly Denver had that piece over Louisville, but Johns Hopkins really didn't have a significant win. And then, you know, Louisville coming up and they're beating, you know, an RPI, I want to say Syracuse was 5 or 6. So that was the quality win that got them in. And that portion of the bracket, you know, you look at the 4 or 5, the Penn State, Princeton locations this weekend. You know, Penn State lost to Northwestern in the Big Ten semifinal. I thought heading into the Big Ten, you know, they were, you know, certainly they factually were, you know, top three RPI. I was curious how that Northwestern loss would affect Penn State in terms of seeding, and we see the answer, didn't really. You know, they're the number 4 seed. And, you know, you look at who's beaten them, Maryland and Colorado. You know, the potential to go up against those teams is pretty far ahead for Penn State. So I feel like they're feeling pretty confident. You know, they have that win over Princeton in their portion of the bracket. Penn State, they will take on the winner of JMU Louisville. You know, this is one of those games where I think it's toss-up. You know, it's pick your poison. JMU certainly coming off a huge CAA effort. You know, they had the overtime win to get them in to the CAA title game over Delaware, and they blew past. So I think this is a JMU team that certainly has the potential to play with anyone. They just have to put it together. I think Haley Warden is one of the best players in the country. She's just so dependable. And taking on Louisville, you know, ACC Defensive Player of the Year, Brittany Reed. I think if she shows up with, you know, not just a Brittany Reed type effort, which is, you know, that 500 effort, but an incredible effort, you know, that 60-70%, Louisville can play with anyone. So I think that those are the two key players. Their performance will decide who advances. And taking on Penn State's one of those teams that just has enough talent everywhere to compete with anyone in the country. You know, Steph Lazo is certainly, you know, the big name on this Nittany Lion team this year. But you have Abby Smucker, Katie O'Donnell, Madison Carter. I think that they have a lot of star power that doesn't necessarily get the credit it deserves. And on the other side of that bracket, you know, the 4-5, 5 being Princeton. What I like here, Cornell Notre Dame, I think in terms of first round matchups, this is the most competitive first round matchup we'll see. Cornell and Notre Dame kind of on that downward trend instead of upward trajectory heading into the NCAA tournament that they'd both like to change and change quickly. You know, Cornell, I think, is probably the more patient team. I like the way they play. I think they're a little bit more disciplined. Notre Dame's been a bit more up and down with their performances. You know, is this the Notre Dame team that lost to Boston College, or is this the Notre Dame team that beat Syracuse? You know, which team is going to show up? And I think that has a lot to do with Courtney Fortunato and the leadership ability that she will exemplify this weekend. This is her final NCAA tournament, and that's kind of why I picked Notre Dame to advance. I think she's too good of a player to lose in the first game of the NCAA tournament. So that second round game has the potential for fireworks. And, you know, really out of those teams, you know, Princeton, Penn State, I think the natural would be they would, you know, advance to the quarterfinals. But I think if there's a dark horse team that's advancing out of the quarters, it could be Cornell or Notre Dame, depending on who wins. Cornell, on the fact that this is a team that's played Princeton very close on 2 prior occasions. It's very hard to beat a team 3 times in a season. They have an overtime effort against the Tigers. And Notre Dame, because I think when Notre Dame puts the pieces together and they play a full 60 minutes, they're one of the best teams in the country.
All right, Hallie, we need to get to the important stuff, and that's prediction time. I want to know who your Final Four are, and kind of related, are any of them going to be first-timers, or is just kind of the higher seeded home seeds, are they going to cruise through? What do you got there?
You know, it's tough. I look at, you know, top to bottom. Let's start with the number 1 seed. You know, Towson, High Point. You know, I said it before, North Carolina, you know, completely opposite the bracket, number one, Maryland. Depending Towson High Point coming out, I think Maryland will cruise through. And that's not, any disrespect to the programs in that bracket. I think Maryland is playing too good right now. I put the first team, when I look here, I put North Carolina through to the Final Four. I think that you look at the road, you look at their road to championship weekend. It's not easy, but I think that they match up very well against a team that they could potentially meet on the way. And, you look at, I kind of say, I'm very confident that the seeds will hold. Maryland, I think, could advance. Florida could advance. I think Syracuse is a thorn in Florida's side, especially in that quarterfinal game. And the way that these teams match up, I think Syracuse is going to put together a much stronger effort should they advance to play Florida than they did in the regular season against the Gators. I think Florida advances to the Final Four unless Syracuse pulls off an incredible upset, and you'll need a very complete game out of Syracuse to do so. That game will have to come down in Gainesville, which really changes things if it's hot this time of year down in Florida. It's kind of like sending a team to play in the Colorado Rockies, sending them to play in the swamp. You just can't prepare for that type of climate, especially when you're up in Syracuse practicing all week. I look at Maryland once again. I think Maryland will breeze through, but and I think Albany, Stony Brook, Northwestern, I think any team could realistically advance from Long Island this weekend. I think that pod, probably top to bottom, is the most competitive one this weekend. I think that if Maryland doesn't advance, it will be at the hands of Stony Brook. I think that that's really, the same way Syracuse, if Florida doesn't advance, then it will be at the hands of Syracuse. And I look, Penn State, Princeton, Cornell, Notre Dame, last bracket, I am going to go with the upset here. I will push Princeton in. I think that if Princeton and Penn State do play, I like the way that Princeton is playing right now. I think Olivia Hump, obviously we talked about her in the Open, she's a Tourette finalist, and there's a reason why. She broke the Princeton single season scoring record this year. And in addition to the offensive IQ and the ability to step up, she had back-to-back huge performances in the Ivy League tournament. It doesn't hurt when you have one of the best goalkeepers in the country. And the thing about Ellie DeGarmo, that why I think she should be a Tour Wharton finalist, is she, look at the goalies, they have the numbers. They have the numbers. She has the numbers, but she is just so consistent. The fact that she has put up back-to-back near identical seasons in goal, which is very hard to do, especially in a time where the game has changed so much for a goalie. She's playing against a possession clock. She's playing against a shot clock this year. She's seeing more shots. She's seeing faster decisions. I think that Ellie DeGarmo combined with Olivia Hump, and then you throw players like Elizabeth George, you throw players like Tess Dorsey in there. This Princeton team is probably one of the best Princeton teams I've ever seen, and has the ability to be that non-top four seed, but they're the five seed. I think if they have the ability to make waves to make a push to the Final Four.
I think I have the same Final Four as you. The Princeton-Penn State was the one that I was kind of flip-flopping with. When it comes to national championship, though, I think it's Maryland. I don't think anyone can beat them. But I have Maryland versus Florida in the national championship.
And okay, I like it.
You sold me on Florida with your story about 2 months ago about all of their different offensive weapons. And just from NCAA tournament, it's never your star player that wins it for you. It's kind of the third and fourth option, and Florida has some really good options, kind of down the depth chart. So that's why I'm going with them to kind of make it to the national championship. But like you said, Maryland is just so, so good right now and has been all season. I don't see any let up from them.
You're going with your hometown team there, Matt.
Well, last year, remember, we thought it might be Maryland, dual national championships, and the Tar Heels had other thoughts about that. So it was anything can happen in the tournament. We all know that. Hey, Maryland, I think everyone thinks they're going to make it past the second round, but they're not going to have an easy quarterfinal game, that's for sure. So you never know what could happen. We could be doing this podcast on May 22nd talking about, oh my God, what happened with the Terps? So that's why we play the game.
That's certainly why we play the game. And who wouldn't like, you know, right now, we just said, you know, one seed, two seed, three seed, five seed, to the rest of the field, prove us wrong. Like, who wouldn't want to see an unseeded team? You know, last year, Penn State, unseeded, Final Four. Who's going to be that team this year? I'm excited to follow along and see who that is.
Excellent, Hallie. We are excited for this first round of action. Friday, Sunday are the women's games. So, you know, there's no overlap between kind of the men's tournament and the women's tournament, or at least, you know, there is on Sunday, but Friday night is no reason not to watch all of these games Friday if you're a fan of lacrosse. So please do tune in. Hallie, everyone can follow you on Twitter, HR Quillinen. Follow Inside Lacrosse at @inside_lacrosse. File IL Women on Twitter. And definitely make sure to keep tabs on the scoreboard. We'll be updating that in real time all weekend. Hallie, you ready for a great weekend?
I'm ready. We'll see you here same time next week.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.